From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Yes, we welcome you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we appreciate all the people that have helped us as we begin our 21st year. Last week we were celebrating our 20th anniversary. Gabe, did you bring a cake? Did you? What do you do for 20? I don't even know what 20 is. 25 is silver and 50 is gold. I'm not sure what 20, balsa wood, probably something like that. But anyway, thanks for all the people who have listened, all the people who have been guests on the program for that period of time. And all the wonderful underwriters who have helped support the Bishop's Hour. But so many people have helped, emotionally and spiritually. And that's just meant so much to us as we and Gabe, all your great, great, great work here as a producer of the Bishop's Hour. So a lot to talk about today. But first and foremost, we're joined by Jim McCormick, the president of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. Jim, good morning.
It's good to be here, Bob. It's on this windy day.
Yes.
The spirit moving among us, right?
And our power is still on.
Yeah.
We're not sure who's being shut off and who's not.
But luckily, you know, great classical music brings power in our lives, as
it
you
does.
Know, Bob. So.
It does.
I wish I had said that. Oh, I did.
Well, I've got my Choral Society and Orchestra brochure in the mail, and wow, you got a tremendous lineup of things. We're only today talking, of course, about the great stained glass concert coming up Saturday, October 19, a week from Saturday, Fremont Presbyterian. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event.
You know, it's our 11th year for promoting what we call stained glass series.
Right.
And it gives the large chorus an opportunity to sing repertoire that they might not be able to with a large choral orchestral, because our mission is choral orchestral. But we added the stained glass series back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And at Fremont, we have a wonderful space, Fremont Presbyterian, just opposite Sac State. And it has one of the largest pipe organs in Northern California.
Wow.
And we have one of the best organists, Dr. Ryan Enright, with us. So it makes for a great venue. The concert starts at 8 o'clock on the 19th of October, and it's an hour and a half. There's no intermission. And we do have a post-concert reception to meet the
Very
artists.
Good. And you like to do that.
It breaks down barriers to classical mm-hmm. music, mm-hmm. you know. And, of course, today everyone loves photo opportunities. And we get to hobnob with the soloist Carrie Hennessy, our own Kevin Doherty, the classical music host for Capital Public Radio.
Right.
And a wonderful tenor from the opera in San Francisco, Michael Desnoyers. Mm-hmm. And so it makes for a really great evening, because like Ryan Enright will kick off he's the organist. He will kick off the concert in such an exciting fashion with this wonderful organ work over the top mm-hmm. by a Canadian composer.
Oh, wow.
Rachel Lorrain. And
so I'm guessing he's from the eastern part of Canada.
Ryan's actually from Montreal.
No, but
so,
I mean
the composer. Yeah, the lady, composer. She's from Montreal as well.
Yeah.
So it's nice to feature works from our northern neighbor, of course.
Yes.
And then, but this Gounod Mass that we're performing is really a West Coast premiere and late 19th century work. Gounod was known for an Ave Maria, but really, otherwise, we have never done any of his works here. So is it ever wonderful to feature him? And then some younger American composers that are writing in a very accessible style. So it's the 19th of October at Fremont Presbyterian. And we do have tickets available online at sacramentochoral.com. And I'm confident there should be some tickets available at the door.
Very good. And it's all at the Fremont Presbyterian.
Exactly. It's great acoustics, really live, free parking, ladies and gentlemen, at the Scottish right next door. And these days, getting free parking is a real bonus.
You don't have to be Scottish to park there.
I never thought about that. I think you get a refund. No, you don't get a refund on free parking. But, yeah, so it's really wonderful to be able to let our patrons know. that they can get free parking right next to the church in the Scottish Rite.
Yeah.
So we do feature wonderful works that are also by up-and-coming composers. And this first excerpt, Bob, is the work is Ave Maria by mm-hmm. Daniel Elder. Daniel Elder is a young American on the East Coast. He was born in 1986. And
oh,
he writes
the most, is a young American.
Yeah, but he writes the most amazing repertoire for choir. And you'll hear it's inspirational in that it starts off in a cascading fashion. And so if we're ready to go, I'd like to have the first excerpt, a work for Stained Glass that we are promoting with the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, Ave Maria by Daniel Elder.
Versions of Ave Maria are there?
You know, I think it probably, this is a very good question. I think it's probably one of the most frequently arranged works in the choral repertoire. I think the text, of course, and singing in Latin is such a treat because of the pure vowels, you know.
Right.
English is one of the most difficult languages to sing in.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even hazard a guess, but you can be sure that up-and-coming composers have cut their choral teeth on Ave Maria. And isn't it wonderful that this text inspires people?
Yeah, every time I hear that, we're going to have Ave Maria, or somebody's going to do Ave Maria, my heart just leaps joy, like, oh boy.
We'll get calls about performing at weddings and sometimes at funerals. And the first request out of their mouth is, well, my mother would have liked to have had Ave Maria.
Uh-huh.
And so it somehow is... It just touches all of us, I guess. So that's just a great arrangement.
Does.
And just when you think there's nothing new under the sun, along comes a young composer that will arrange it in a way that still is very appealing.
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, we're just great. So I want to point out that Carrie Hennessy is on stage with us, and she recently appeared with the ballet. She was hysterical, and she can sing and act and dance. And so she is going to be performing with us as a soprano in the Gounod Mass. And her baritone partner will be Kevin Doherty, who does a really great job of promoting classical music on Capital Public Radio. And then rounding out the trio will be Michael Desnoyers. So it's really wonderful to have professionally managed soloists sharing the stage with us, Bob.
Now, you say Michael
Desnoyers.
Desnoyers.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. I see two S's and an R in there, and they're not pronounced at all.
Well, chante, chante, it's an infinitive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, we gave a nod just now to the early 20th century musical style with the mm-hmm. work Ave Maria. But let's go back a few centuries to the Baroque era, mm-hmm. Late 17th, early 18th century. Our good friend George Frederick Handel.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there has been a coronation since the 18th century, they have actually featured this work called Zadok the Priest.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard part of it in Downton Abbey, maybe. But Zadok the Priest is a work by Handel. And it has to do... Zadok was a priest when they anointed Solomon some years ago. He was the titular priest who did the anointing. So this is a work that contrasts just what you heard, because it's as British as it gets, because he spent a lot of his life in London. And this is Zadok the Priest by Handel, Wonderful accompaniment. Normally you'd have a lot of brass, but the Brits know how to do up pomp and circumstance big time. So this is a work by Handel, Zadok the Priest. Downton Abbey all over again, but every time a king has been or a queen has been crowned since the late 17th, early 18th century, that music has been performed at the coronation. Mm. So that tells you something about the enduring quality.
Wow.
It's just become a tradition, and of course the English love great tradition.
Indeed.
And in the choral music world, Bob, the English, they have it down to a science. Mm-hmm. They have the venues, for one thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where the sound resonates, and it's just the sense of history and beauty and inspiration, light coming through those stained glass in my next lifetime.
Yeah. Has the Choral Society performed in the UK?
Oh, my gosh. St. Paul's.
Uh-huh.
We made it in there. Very few international choirs perform there. They get besieged by requests.
Sure.
But in 2015, after we had performed at Notre Dame in Paris, we sang at the American Cemetery, and then we performed at an abbey in Normandy. We took the Channel, God bless us all,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to secure a concert time at St. Paul's. It was a noon-hour concert. And it was the new St. Paul's, 1597.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Christopher Wren.
Yeah.
I could tell it was brand new. You could just sense it, you know. But I remember I wasn't singing in the choir at the time, but I was in the audience, and I looked up, and the whole dome, everything went on for days, and to sing Gregorian chant and Renaissance music in that space, I thought, don't pinch me.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have performed there, and it really was an honor. Since then, they have really cut back on how many international choirs they let perform there. They have their own choir, of course, mm-hmm. you know. But the place was packed with international tourists, and they come because they know they can expect a noon-hour performance.
Wow.
So, it was humbling, actually. And it's something that, you know, when you have these big moments in life that you just will always remember, I think.
Is that when you look up at God and you say, is heaven really better than this?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's like... Yeah.
Between the actual text, I remember now there was some Gregorian chant, a Renaissance tune that we sang. I sat there and my heart was full of joy. I felt blessed that we have all these dedicated people
mm-hmm.
that want to make this beautiful music in such wonderful spaces. And those are memories that we carry forward together in our lives. And we've had quite a few moments like that since 2015. But it is great. It's great to honor the past and the works of these amazing composers. They need to be heard. And so that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you'll join us at our stained glass concert on October 19th. And tickets are available online at sacramentochoral.com, or certainly you can purchase them at the door.
And it's music for St. Cecilia.
St. Cecilia, yes. In fact,
patron saint?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because the entire performance centers around honoring St. Cecilia.
Uh-huh.
Her feast day happens to be November 22nd, another mm-hmm. special day in all of our lives. And she was a martyr in the second century, and she had this amazing natural voice. And for some reason, after she got married, she actually wanted to take a vow of virginity, but her father insisted that she get married. So I think she did so. But I guess she was always known for her amazing soprano voice. Hmm. So she became, since the second century, the patroness of music. And it's wonderful because Scola, Don Kendrick's church choir at Sacred Heart, they performed at the patronal church, St. Cecilia, and Trastevere in Rome. Mm-hmm. And apparently that beautiful church was built on the home, the same location where her home was located in Rome.
Wow.
So we're honoring, there's apparently lots of beautiful poems about St. Cecilia, and we're honoring her in a special way with different works that are dedicated to her.
So she's a patron saint of music because she was renowned for her voice?
For her voice, wow. Yeah. I mean, there probably were many others. Somehow, since the second century, that whole aura has been, given to her. And what's wonderful is, for our concert, we were short sort of one special piece. We wanted a piece that was another 5 or 6 minutes long, but we wanted the text to deal with St. Cecilia. Mm-hmm. So we commissioned a professor, Scott Perkins, who was the head of theory at Sacramento State, and he wrote a song for St. Cecilia. Hmm. So he did a lot of research.
So it's original.
Yeah, it's world premiere, and the choir is doing a great job. So his is like 21st century style, but Scott happens to be a very fine tenor who sings in the choral society, and he teaches at Sac State during the day, and on a Monday night, you'll see him rehearsing with us.
Wow.
So is it ever wonderful to have like a composer in residence within the organization, so to speak?
So what was music like in the second century in Rome?
Probably a lot of chant, mm-hmm. even before then.
Were there instruments? A cappella?
There might have been the odd stringed instrument, but uh-huh. and the not the flute, but the forerunner of the flute, aulos.
The kazoo?
I don't think so. Okay, Bob, let's get this back on track. Okay. So we are honoring the music of St. Cecilia, and there's other texts that we're doing, and but I really want to tell our audience that they'll have a chance to meet the composer. He'll be in the chorus performing, but then at the reception they can meet Dr. Scott Perkins and sign program books, et cetera. So yeah, it is.
All the ones that I've been to that you folks have put on. I really enjoy that, getting to mix with everybody afterwards.
It's important. It's part of our outreach, actually. Yeah. You know that? I mean, the program notes are great, but you get a chance to hobnob and just hang out with all of our singers. It's a brief reception. Starts at 9:30. We're done by 10 o'clock. But it's really, for me, a commission is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It shows that we have invested in the community.
Right.
And it's not just a regional premiere. It is a world premiere. This music has not been heard before. Mm-hmm. So we will record it. We'll see what we do with that recording. But it will be good for Dr. Scott Perkins to have this recording so that other people around the world can hear his works.
I'm glad you mentioned that,
Bob. Yeah. So St. Cecilia, and we're going to be honoring you in a big way at the Stained Glass Concert on October 19th. Tickets available online at sacramentochoral.com or certainly at the door.
So do you pray to St. Cecilia if you have performance anxiety ahead of time?
People who have recitals who are a bit nervous, they figure it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
So, there's the famous statue of her sort of sitting at a, looks like a small organ, a small uh-huh. instrument. In fact, when Scola sings every Sunday, behind Scola is this beautiful statue that Father Walton bought for us to celebrate our 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And it's St. Cecilia sort of looking down uh-huh. on us. So we're doing our best to sing in tune and make sure that it's very
musical. I'm going to have to read more about her life.
Yeah, she's quite intriguing, evidently. And she was a fairly short in stature, mm-hmm. but big in talent. So, so we're honoring her. Charles Gounod, the late 19th century Romantic French composer in Paris, he dedicated a whole work, a solemn mass in honor of St. Cecilia. And so I'd like to play a cut from the opening of the Kyrie, this late 19th century Romantic French work by Charles Gounod, Mass in Honor of St. Cecilia.
¶¶
was enjoying that so much, I forgot I was on the radio.
I know. Well, you know, it's wonderful that these composers honor, the patroness of music. And evidently, Cecilia, St. Cecilia, she symbolizes the central role of music in the liturgy. So I think various popes have probably adhered to the quality of what she aspired to, you know, back in the second century. And, you know, some of the poets that set, I think last time we were wondering, some of the poets that set the poems by about St. Cecilia, about John Dryden, Alexander Pope, and then Henry Purcell was one of the great composers, Charpentier, and then apparently Benjamin Britten, the great English composer, he did a royal setting. So it's sort of fun to see who has set the poems about the patron saint of music. So it's great that we'll honor her. So the theme, you know, Donald Kendrick is known for setting themes for concerts.
Right.
So he's done a royal job. And it's intriguing that when we were short 5 or 6 minutes in the concert, we decided to commission our own Scott Perkins. And it's wonderful that he, as a tenor in the choir, happens to also be a composer who teaches music theory at Sacramento State.
So what was his first reaction?
He was like, delighted because he's really a well-known young composer in the area. And we performed, the Sacramento State Choirs have performed some of his works. In fact, Scola is performing his Our Father, I think, this Sunday at Sacred Heart Church at 11 o'clock. I remember last spring we realized that we were short of one piece. And we thought, well, we have this amazing composer right in our ranks. And I remember the phone call that Don made to Scott. And he said, I would be absolutely thrilled. So let's get together, he said, and set the mood that you want for the piece. And let's agree on the poetry and the key signature. Because the key signature determines the warmth sometimes of the...
What's the key signature?
Whether it's in C major, G major, how many sharps or flats it has. And like D flat is considered sort of a...
We'll have the English translation of this later.
Well, some people will know.
And some people know exactly what you're talking about,
Jim. And actually, ladies and gentlemen, I'm showing Bob. I have the score. We're on the radio, I know. So
that looks like Latin to me.
So it is. But I love it. It says, commissioned by the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, Donald Kendrick, conductor, Ryan Enright, organist, Scott Perkins, 2019.
Wow.
A world premiere, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got to be busting with pride.
Yeah, it's really and the choir is doing a great job on it, and they love it, by the way. And
is he a local person?
He's from Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Originally, and he's been here going on three years now, I believe. And so it's just great to have him with us. And the choir at rehearsals, it's fun because they're asking him to autograph their scores.
Oh, wonderful.
And Scott will autograph your program book, too. So if you want to be part of history on October 19th, please join the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra at Stained Glass.
Wow.
In honor of St. Cecilia.
That is just wonderful. You've told us about Carrie Hennessy in the past, but tell us a little bit more about her.
You know, she is an amazing human being in that she's local, but she's known nationally. And when she takes on a project, she just puts her heart and soul into it. We had her on stage for the music of Downton Abbey, we did another great classical work with her about 2 years ago. And she has a spirit about it. She has a natural talent as a soprano. But her spirit, you know, when some people are on stage, they can engage the audience by, they pull them in with their eye. And so they're not staring into a musical score saying, hey, this is what I'm about. You're out there someplace. She engages the audience totally. And so we just love her energy and her natural talent. And she also spreads the word really well locally about classical music. She interviews really well, and she's got a down-to-earth spirit about her. And she always honors the work that the chorus does. You know, some singers, we may engage them, we may hire them, but they hardly know that there's a chorus backing them up on stage, whereas Carrie is the first one to acknowledge the good work that they do. So people will have a chance to meet her at the reception. And, there's a spirit about Carrie Hennessy that is so amazing that anytime we hire her, we know we're in for a thrill.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I we're concentrating, obviously, on October 19 performance at Fremont Presbyterian, but I I just want to give a few circle the dates to people, starting with Saturday, December 7. And there's two performances,
yes.
2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. at the Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. In fact, the three things that we will give you circle the date are all at the
this year, exactly.
The refurbished,
yes.
Remodeled,
newly renovated, exactly.
Renovated, yeah. Because yeah. It's still the Memorial Auditorium, yeah. And it will always be such.
And more comfortable seats, Bob, more comfortable
really?
Seats. And restrooms that are on the main floor where you don't have to take your life in your hands to go to the restroom downstairs. And improved acoustics.
Improved. Yeah.
They've got drapes that can fall to keep the third balcony closed.
Right.
Because that third balcony, second balcony, I should say, it just goes on forever.
Yeah.
So thank you, Bob.
So Saturday, December 7, another day in American history.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. For those that were going, we were mentioning November 22nd, of course, that was the mm-hmm. assassination of John
That's
F.
Right.
Kennedy. This is 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. If you have young kids, take them to the 2 p.m. Kids are welcome. Home for the Holidays, sponsored by Wells Fargo,
with
who
puppets.
Has been a great
yeah.
partner.
We partner with Make-A-Wish Foundation, KVIE, and the Green Valley Puppets will steal your hearts.
Oh, they're
the
great.
Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so two performances, and the evening performance is at 7:30, and the nice thing, at least for our family, when we've gone to the 2 p.m. is there's all these great restaurants just right across the street
the
and
location.
around the
yeah.
the corner from
Food Heaven, exactly.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So that's Saturday, December 7, and there's a sing along.
This year, it's been many years, but we're going to do a Messiah sing-along on
oh
Boxing Day on the 26th when people are sitting
on
around.
The 26th, not
yeah.
this concert,
yeah,
but
exactly.
I just told my daughter, who is in the advanced treble choir at Davis
oh, yeah.
High School, they're performing the Messiah at some point around Christmas time. And I said, the Choral Society is going to do a Messiah sing-along on the 26th.
And we're doing the whole thing. And anyone who comes, it's Bring Your Own Messiah. And anyone who comes will also have a chance as a group to sing the solo parts.
Wow. And will that be at the auditorium as well?
We're at the Central Presbyterian Church.
Oh, Central Presbyterian.
It's 21st
okay.
and J.
Oh, here.
Yeah, and Ryan Enright's the organist.
Right.
And this is just a wonderful
day after Chris Boxer.
Afterglow, yeah, when
yeah.
people are sitting around wondering what to do and they're too full to get out and do too much. We're hosting it at 2 p.m. And
perfect.
We haven't done this in years.
Still time to return those presents.
Exactly, yeah. So we're glad we're giving it a try.
That's wonderful. You haven't done that before?
We've never really done one on our own. We've partnered with other groups, other churches, and different conductors that would come in and conduct some movements. But it's been a lot. And plus, most groups just do parts one and two of the Messiah. We're going for the gold. We're doing parts one, two, and three, or even the Easter portion.
Wonderful.
So it's going to, and people can come and go and leave as they like. It's that important.
How long does it take?
It's going to be a good 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a lot of notes.
Yeah.
But again, people just want to come and sing.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But we encourage people to bring their own Messiah. We'll have some loner scores, some mm-hmm. music at the door that we check out on the honor system. But yeah, we're giving that a whirl.
That's wonderful. The 26th at
Boxing Day.
On
King Wenceslas approves.
First United Methodist Church, 2100 J Street,
mm-hmm.
not far from the auditorium.
Really, yeah. And we love the idea of being midtown because sometimes we're at St. John's for the summer
right.
sing. And we love doing anything that gets us out into the midtown audience.
Yeah,
you know,
so. Indeed. And then on Saturday, March 21 at 8 p.m., the Verdi Requiem.
Right. And Bob, we're dedicating that entire concert to Biba.
Oh, Biba.
Verdi was the greatest Italian composer,
right.
and Biba certainly made her mark as a culinary
luminary. Right.
So we'll be dedicating, and it's going to be 200 singers on stage, 60-piece professional orchestra, and four outstanding soloists from the Met.
Biba of Bibas, who
yeah.
just died recently.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. And our own Malcolm McKenzie will be our bass in the quartet of soloists for the Verdi.
I was telling you before the show, I was the MC at the Davis High School Hall of Fame banquet a week or so ago, and one of the five inductees was Malcolm McKenzie.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his credits were just...
Oh, yeah.
Took me about an hour to get through the credits.
I know, and he's humble about it.
Oh, very.
Know? Yeah.
Very. And a great sense of humor.
Yeah, and he teaches voice part-time at UC Davis,
mm-hmm.
so we're glad to have Malcolm in our community.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, and that's Saturday, March 21st.
Right, that's basically the first day of spring.
First day of spring.
It happens to also be Bach's birthday. So Mr. Verdi will help us celebrate Bach's birthday.
Oh, wow. Yes. Wow. And then finally, and if I can buy tickets now, I will. Saturday, May 9, the best. I was showing this brochure to my wife yesterday. Best of Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma, The Sound of Music, Carousel, The King and I, South Pacific. Wow. I just think that's going to be fabulous.
And you know, it's a 2 p.m. matinee, Bob. We decided
just 2 p.m. That's not an evening, right?
We decided, you know, for that show, let's go back to a matinee. It helps people get to it, and and the four soloists that are coming up are all Broadway enthusiasts. They've got the style down to a science, and they'll tear the wallpaper off of Memorial Auditorium.
That's good. Have you ever done something like that before?
It's been about 17 years since we have. Yeah, we don't pull it out very often. But we thought, let's do a matinee, and let's go back and show people that we're listening to their requests, too. Because we get requests for they like the old-time Broadway stuff.
Yeah.
You can be sure some of the audience will be singing along and maybe getting up and dancing. And I love the idea of doing this old Broadway show at Memorial, because Memorial will be turning 92,
I think it's 92. Yeah.
And so we'll honor the good old building with some good old Broadway stuff.
Wow. You know, and I've often wondered, and we'll talk about this more as we get closer to December, but, you know, the Christmas concert, the December Home for the Holidays, you know, people, it's Christmas. We want jingle bells, and we want Away in a Manger, and we want, but I can see as performers, as directors and all that, you want some originality. You want something new as well. You know, it's a tough balance.
It is. It is something old. So we try to combine. I think Don Kendrick does a great job.
Yeah, I say you do a great job of it.
Balancing it out, like stuff that is dependable, traditional, but mixing in stuff that might stretch our ears too, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and also needs to challenge the chorus and the orchestra.
Right.
We can't just, you know, and so we're very good about that. We have some amazing repertoire planned, you know, and a headliner from the Bay Area, a young tenor coming up to be with us for Wells Fargo Home for the Holidays.
Very good. Jim, one more time, tell folks how they can make the October 19.
Right. Sacramento Choral Society, October 19th. It's a stained glass concert honoring the music of the poetry and life and dedication to St. Cecilia, the patron of music. And tickets are available at sacramentochoral.com or certainly at the door as well. Fremont Presbyterian Church, opposite the front of Sac State, and free parking at the Scottish Rite Temple parking lot.
Very good. Give us the final cut here to take us out to break.
Dr. David Dekow is a choral conductor in Minnesota, and he wrote a wonderful work dedicated. It's certainly the theme of St. Cecilia, if music be the food of love, and if music be the food of love, play on until I am filled with joy. If music be the food of love by David Dekow at the Sacramento Choral Society Stained Glass Concert.
Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you, Bob.
My listening.
Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hey, this is James Cavanaugh, Director for the Office of Worship, and this is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back, and thanks, James, for all you do for our great Catholic Diocese of Sacramento. We go all the way to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we're joined by Jim Ball from 40 Days for Life in Green Bay. Jim, it's been too long since we talked.
Yes, it is. How's everything out there, my friend?
Well, the 49ers are 4-0. What else do you want to know?
it sounds like there's a little cockiness going on. Let's see what happens.
When's the last time I've been able to say the 49ers are 4-0? Like
1912? That's true. Yeah, they might have something going out there.
Yeah, they've got Jimmy Garoppolo's playing pretty well, and Bosa is playing pretty well, and people are pretty excited about it. You know, we lost the Raiders. I mean, they're going. They're leaving town for Sin City, and, you know, what's left? You got to root for the 49ers. But you know something, Jim? It's really true. Ever since I was a little kid, and we have absolutely no Wisconsin connection at all, family or anything, the closest we get is the Dakotas, I've always been a Green Bay Packers fan, and I think that that's a pretty normal story for people in America. Maybe you didn't grow up near a NFL franchise or something, and you adopted the Packers.
You bet. There's a family feel about it, and it's not a contrived feel.
Right.
I mean, there's that small town. It's the David versus Goliath.
Yeah, I go back to Bart Starr and Jim Taylor I could name them all probably, and Vince Lombardi, and just the inspiration that they provided, and it just it's a different franchise. It's a magical franchise.
It really is. It really is. And believe me, we don't take it for granted here. It's one of those things we're so blessed in so many ways. We've got the Packers. We've also got the National Shrine of St. Joseph over at St. Norbert College, which is just a few miles south. And then we have the only approved Marian apparition in North America, just about 20 miles north of Green Bay.
And isn't that called Champion?
Champion.
I mean, how more appropriate than to name it Champion?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and it is the only approved Marian apparition in North America.
It's the only approved Marian apparition in North America. And for your listeners, when we say approved, it means that the bishop has received approval from Rome to be able to say that it's not the Vatican giving it a stamp of approval. The Vatican rarely does that.
Right.
But the local ordinary has the choice to say this is worthy of belief.
Right.
And the story of the miracles that go on out there is just incredible. And it's growing since he made that announcement in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a basilica out there probably before you and I assume room temperature, or if not, soon after that.
And what's the story at Champion?
Well, back in 1858, an immigrant girl from Belgium, Adele Bryce, was walking to school, and she there was a beautiful woman that she saw. She saw her twice, and the message the woman gave her was to teach the children their catechism, teach them the sacraments, teach them the sign of the cross. And it was, so it's educate, catechesis, that's the message of that. And they built a chapel around there, and soon after that, people always remember the Chicago fire.
Right.
Where there were, I don't know how many people were killed, about 800 people. Well, on the same day, the Peshtigo fire,
which is
northern Wisconsin, was much more decimated and killed many more people on the same day.
In very quickly too. It was
unbelievable. Well, what it did was it almost leapt over. The Peshtigo is on the west side of the Bay of Green Bay.
Right.
Champions in that thumb that sticks out into Lake Michigan of Wisconsin. You see
mm-hmm.
that little thumb that sticks out. It's there. And the fire, what they say is it high winds kind of had it jump the bay and burn the area all around Champion. And they've got, and that, everybody came onto the chapel grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And everything around it burned, and not a tree, not a leaf was burned on the chapel grounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually some evidence of fence posts that were on the outside of char on one side and nothing on the other, and that was a hot fire.
Hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that I don't know how it escaped. I didn't know about it till 5 or 6 years ago, and just sort of tripped on it, and maybe it was reading about the miracle, and thought, how come that didn't make it into my history book growing up? That's the fire, because it was so, you know.
Yeah, it was devastating.
Yeah,
it was devastating. I think it's you know, it's probably part of the I don't know. You call it the we're part of flyover country, and even though Chicago was part of that, it's still a hub. And
and it wasn't a big name city. It was just a little place. Yeah.
No. It's just a little town.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got so much stuff going on here. It's we're blessed, and it's no doubt that we should have. We are, I guess, blessed is the right word, and for us to be able to have the kind of success we had for 40 days shouldn't be a surprise, because the faith here is palpable. And sometimes doesn't mean we don't suffer from the same maladies that are, you know, afflicting the culture in general, but we are blessed, and then we've got a strong movement, and we continue to make our presence known.
And Jim, 40 Days for Life in Green Bay, you were one of the first to sort of take up the sword when 40 Days decided to go beyond Bryan, Texas.
Well, yes. Green Bay was the third city to sign up. I wasn't part of that. I became a part of it soon afterwards. We had a Jewish gentleman who discovered that 40 Days for Life was, proud. He lived in Green Bay, and they didn't do abortions there. This is like 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking online, and he found out, hey, they do abortions here. Well, he got together with three other people. One thing led to another, and we were the second city outside of Texas
mm-hmm.
to establish a 40 Days. And you can still see, if you Google 40 Days Green Bay 2006, it was about a two-minute Fox News video where they did a real nice job of that. And that's when we started. 40 Days for Life as a national program didn't really start until the next year. So Green Bay was one of the first to get started, and we've been doing a 24-hour official since then. I got involved early in the 2006 after they had done the original organization. Great story. As a matter of fact, if people want to go in and purchase the latest 40 Days for Life book on 40daysforlife.com, the Green Bay story is chapter 6 in there.
Oh, very good.
Story. Yeah.
So the 24/7 has become rare.
Yes.
But you guys still do it.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Matter of fact, I'm speaking to you with heavy-lidded eyes. I got the midnight to 2 this morning, so I was up in it was a beautiful night. The beginning of about three-quarters of the harvest moon is available to be seen, and it's usually pretty quiet out there, and we didn't have rain for a change, so great time to walk and pray, my friend.
Gabe, let's send Jim a couple of pounds of ground, the dark roast, California dark roast.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm a coffee snob. I've become one. Dark roast, I'm a dark roast guy.
All right. You want cream and sugar, or you just want the dark roast?
No. If you can asphalt your driveway with it, I'm interested.
Very good. Very good. I guess you don't ask somebody who's a Packers fan if they want cream and sugar in their coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We do have some problems here, too. There's one of those guys that might take a frappuccino.
I still remember the political candidate who shall remain nameless who ordered a Philly cheesesteak, but he ordered the wrong cheese on it. You know, he was trying to be one of the guys, you know. And
oh, man. Don't you love that?
So no cream and sugar. But, well, how do you pull off 24/7, though? Unfortunately, you have that tropical climate in Green Bay. So.
Well, I think that there are a number of things that came together, as so often it does in God's plan. But we have had a men's group that had been frustrated with the way things were going in the church, and we just started meeting, and then we called, and so we started doing a annual conference, and we call ourselves Estovir. Estovir is Latin for be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do the annual conference. So we had a base of men. And when I got involved in that early digital, I went out there and I could see how hard it is to fill shifts. And I said, look, we're going to get men out here to do all the shifts. We're going to do the night shifts. And what happened was, it's a great story. I was walking and praying one Saturday afternoon around the original abortion mill that is now closed down here. But there was a woman who was looking at me every time I walked past her. She was one of her prayers, too. And then she finally stopped me. She said, you have no idea how wonderful it is to see a man out here.
Hmm.
And that has stuck with me, and I get that all the time. And every time, and then I just said, what has taken us so long to get out here? So then and that got me started getting in the faces of guys and saying, get your butt out here. We're walking and praying at night. So it was approaching men in, like, they're in the locker room, not in the frappuccino line,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you have a job to do. You need to serve, protect, and defend the family. That's what we're out here to do. We're not out here to paint our faces and cheer for the home team and drink beer and then impregnate women and write a check out so the problem goes away. We're here to serve and protect. And so that's been our message for all these years. So that's how it works.
Wow. And how long of a shift do people have at night?
Well, the first year we were doing 4 to 5 hour shifts,
mm-hmm.
and we've got it down now. Most of the night shifts are 2 hours, and the earlier night shifts, like 6 to 8 o'clock on most nights, and from 6 until 8 in the morning, are split up into 2 1-hour shifts. But the other I'd say pretty much from 8 p.m. at night until 6 a.m. in the morning, those are 2 hour shifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's outdoors. I mean, fortunately, yep. The early fall isn't too chilly in Green Bay, but it's chillier than it is probably here in California.
That's right. But I tell those guys, you know, when it's cold and the wind's blowing, and we've only called off one vigil for about 24 hours because there was an ice storm. That was nasty. You can't do that.
Then it becomes dangerous to get people out there.
Right. Yeah. You can't do that. Other than that, we're out there all the time. And I just tell them, look, if you can sit out and drink beer and watch, and spend 3 hours at Lambeau Field watching the Packers, or go out and sit in a deer stand all day, you can take an hour or 2 hours, get bundled up, and get out here and walk and pray to save babies, and that works too. So we don't take no for an answer out here, my friend.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I've seen, I think Lambeau, they've played in, what, 13 below, something like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're talking to one of the guys who was actually at the Ice Bowl.
Were you at the Ice Bowl?
I was at the Ice Bowl.
Yeah. Wow. That one was... I was there in spirit. I was watching it on TV with a cup of hot chocolate in my hands.
Yeah, I was not there in spirit. I was there... We thought my brother was going to have frostbite on his toes. That was way before some of the warm boots and stuff you have right now. We basically were out there with, you know, rubber... freezers wrapped around our feet.
What year was that?
1967.
67.
I was 11 years old.
Wow. Yeah. It's mind-boggling to think about, and it's a lot worse, obviously, sitting than if you're actually playing in the game.
Oh yeah. But I can't imagine what it was like to get hit by those guys. Because I refereed high school football and basketball for a lot of years, and I was able to referee Packer practices. And so I've seen those guys in scrimmages up close and personal.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how fast and violent those collisions are.
Yep.
Now, what that's like with a wind chill of 40 below zero, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Wow. Was it a windy day as well?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So what are your biggest challenges now for 40 Days for Life in Green Bay?
You know, we got a pretty good thing going. What we want to do is maybe a little bit better job of reaching out to the community, and we've got a good base for that now. That's part of the 40 Days for Life protocol. But we always focused on, we thought the best thing we could do, we're going to get shifts filled, and we don't want to burn people out, so we're going to do this. We've really focused on that. We've done a little bit of outreach, but we're on Facebook now, and I'm not a social media guy, but we have someone that's doing that. But I think we're going to work. That's really going to be our thrust, is to do a little better job of spreading the word. And just so you know, independent of 40 Days, we've launched a nonprofit called the Northeastern Wisconsin Culture Institute, and we're fundraising for it right now. And what we're doing is we want Northeastern Wisconsin, which is a swath that goes up into rural Michigan and then down just south of Green Bay a ways, we want to have the highest in wedlock birth rate in the country.
Hmm.
And we're going to do that with social media and advertising, and it's worked in other areas. There's a place that we're modeling it after that has actually reduced the divorce rate in Jacksonville, Florida by 24% using social media, advertising, and data.
Well, and Jim, what's the title of the nonprofit again?
Northeastern Wisconsin Culture Institute.
Oh, very good.
So it's New Culture Institute, and, you know, its initials are NCI. We're just starting the fundraising right now.
Very good.
And, yeah, we're going for some pretty big bucks, because it's going to take a little bit to get us started. We figure after 3 years we'll be self-funded, but first 3 years we've got to fund.
Well, we'll say some special prayers.
Please do. Please keep us in prayer, because we can do this. This can happen. And we want, and the thing we're going to do, Bob, is we're not going to go through the door of religion and faith, because we have so much sociological truth, biological truth, medical truth on our side.
Right.
We just want to educate people and tell them these are the facts of the case.
Yeah.
You know, it's not politically correct to say that single motherhood is almost a straight road into poverty and struggle for the kids. But those are facts. Those are the numbers. The data tells us that. Those are the things that we're going to say, and we're going to make Green Bay a stronger, family friendly culture.
Very good. Well, I will follow it, Jim. Thanks so much.
You bet.
And thanks for your time, and thanks for all you do. And we'll look forward to. I don't think the Packers and Niners can play in the Super Bowl. Against each other, I guess the semifinals or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. There's a long way to go yet. I wouldn't get your hopes up too high. I don't have my hopes up too high for Green Bay. I'm, you know, they've actually managed pretty well in a very tough beginning of the season, and they're 4-0 right now.
Yeah.
So they'll probably make the playoffs. We'll see, you know, where it takes them from there. But
well, it'll be fun to watch.
Yes, it will. Hey, keep up the great work out there, you and Gabe and your folks. You got your hands full up there in La La Land, my friend.
Indeed we do. Thanks,
yes,
Jim.
Okay, God bless.
Hey, God bless. That's Jim Ball, the head of 40 Days for Life in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Inside of me, I feel your spirit.